the midweek drive, zooming into the future and energized by the now. Time for more movie thoughts, reviews, and royal commentary from Richard Fitzwilliams and Natasha Wanton on the Midweek Drive.
Okay, time being what it is, the reason Richard Fitzwilliams isn't with us today is because he's off supporting Spain. Or is it the Lionesses? It's one of those two things anyway. Anyway, let us motor on in terms of our own side of things here, because Natasha Wanton is with us, obviously devastated at the Matildas' defeat at the hands of the Dutch manager, Serena Wiegmann's Lionesses. But never mind, Natasha, there's always 2027.
It's been such a remarkable sort of atmosphere here, even with the loss. It's been really nice to see the sort of push towards women's sport that we're getting, which I hope is sort of we're seeing back in the UK as well. Soccer's one of those ones that we're a country that loves sport, but soccer's never normally high on people's radar. So it's been nice to see people starting to take an interest in the sport and sort of get behind it. So no, good luck to the Lionesses, and we'll see who comes out on top tonight.
And indeed, we will have seen by the time this actually hits the Siren Radio airwaves. But there we are. Or indeed, probably podcasts as well. Interesting, of course, I mean, finance playing a huge part in this. And clearly, in terms of the financial system, it's interesting that we're seeing almost, you could say, bread and circuses here in terms of the kind of money that's being pumped into the game and the range of other bits and pieces. And maybe there are other issues that perhaps need to take greater precedence. I mean, I've enjoyed the tournament. I think it's worked well. It's been interesting. Although if I was being mischievous, I might sort of suggest that there's not really been a great deal of opportunity for transgendered athletes to take part, which I suppose if you did the full sort of scene, you might as well say, well, we'll just stick with men who transitioned into women and so on. But that's another issue for another day. Victoria Simmons is with us from France. Again, France, unfortunately, eliminated from the Women's World Cup tournament. But Victoria, is it something that you've been concerned about, or is it a case of, oh, what the hey, I'm a musician, I'm just happy for the human race?
No, I really love the Lionesses. I'm not watching it because I just can't manage to watch a football match for some reason when it's on the television. In live, I'm fine.
Indeed, and the live moment
when it's live on telly,
came to us literally just as Spain actually took a lead. So there we are. Spain have actually managed to.
Well, my dad's downstairs watching it. So.
Well, and is he cheering for the Lionesses, or is he cheering for the Spanish folk?
For Lionesses, of course.
That's probably why we didn't hear
it. My cousin's got a bit more of a problem because she lives in Spain with her Spanish boyfriend, and I'm not entirely sure which side she's on, if she's watching at all.
Well, it's always nice to see that currently, as I say, and as we say, the listener will find out, will know what the score is by the time we've gone through this. So I won't refer to it at all at any particular moment. It's currently Spain 1, England 0. Natasha, you've been catching Brimstone, which I was kind of familiar with, but I've still left up a Resonance Rewind, Live and Let Die in the backdrop there, because curiously enough, that also has connections with Brimstone or Voodoo after a fashion. But share with us, Natasha, this disturbing film that I'm not sure whether you're recommending it or indeed are saying avoid it. Is it recommend or avoid?
I'm not sure if I am anyway, but we'll bumble through and then see if I can come to a conclusion by the end of my narrative. So Brimstone is a 2016 psychological Western film written and directed by Martin Coolhoven. It's one that hasn't really been on my radar until I stumbled across it this morning. It's a Dutch-American venture, but it does also have French, German, Belgian, and Swedish production working on it as well. So it's been a real international make. It was originally premiered in the Netherlands in January 2017. So it's a little bit of an oldie, this one. But yeah, I don't remember seeing anything about it at the time, even though it did apparently really well in Europe, but very mixed reviews across the pond in America. So maybe that's why I've not so much heard of it. It's quite an interesting convoluted plot. It's not a normal sort of movie plot. It's sort of there's very heavy religious tones throughout the whole thing. And it's sort of set out in four books. So you've got sort of Genesis, Exodus, Revelation, and Retribution. It doesn't go in chronological order, so it's sort of the parts aren't set out how they would be. They sort of mixed about. And to start with, you sort of don't know what's going on, and it's not until about the third act when things really start to click into place. So it's if you're one of those people who like to just switch off with a movie and sort of have the plot kind of handed to you, this isn't probably going to be a movie for you because it does make you work very hard. So we've got a really good cast. We've got Dakota Fanning. She is amazing in this movie. She's very strong and I really emotive. Really, really, really strong performance from her. We've got Guy Pearce. We've got Emilia Jones. We've got a bit of a cameo from Kit Harington, although he doesn't. I won't give you a spoiler. Richard will listen back to this and hate me. We've got Carice Van Houten. So there's a really talented group of actors working on it, and it is a very considered performance by the people involved, and it kind of has to be because of the plot. So you sort of start off meeting this character, Liv Brundy. She lives in the Old West with her husband, Eli, and their two children. You've got Matthew, who's Eli's eldest son from a previous marriage, and you've got the younger daughter, Sam. Liz works as a midwife, and she's mute. So she communicates mostly through sign language. One day, we see an appearance of a new church minister. He's known as the Reverend, and he hosts a session at the local church. And you can see it's a really good face actor. You can see from the minute Liz hears his voice, she seems to recognize him and is clearly quite terrified. And thus begins the sort of cat and mouse game between these two characters. And as you go through the books, they call it, or the acts, if you like, you sort of see the whole thing unravel more and more to the point where you're like, oh my goodness, this is really, really disturbing. No, I don't want to give any spoilers. But if you, I will, I like to give out a bit of viewer warnings because there are a lot of triggers in this movie. It is not an easy movie to watch. There's a lot of troublesome scenes and implications. And if you have been a victim of domestic violence, I would tread very carefully with this movie because it is quite difficult to watch in places. But it's in a way, there is a lot of hope in this movie in that it's very good at showing the sort of the strength of the female spirit. There's a lot of twists and turns and sort of terrible things that happen, but through it all, you sort of have this resilience and this character, this Liz Brundy, sort of as the character becomes more and more revealed, you sort of see how resilient and how strong and everything that she's gone through in her life. It's a really beautiful movie. I actually liked the ending. Some people have been quite negative about the ending. They feel like it felt a bit of a throwaway moment. I felt like it was a bit it was a bit convenient, you know. Oh, that's convenient that it worked out how it was. I thought the ending was actually quite good and I liked how it ended, but you are welcome to make up your mind on that one. Would I recommend this movie? It's look, it doesn't pull any punches. It is a massive sucker punch to the stomach. It's very disturbing in material and a lot of the subjects. But I also found it fascinating in a way, just the unraveling and the clues and the finding out about the past. So if you're into that sort of thing, I would definitely say yes. But yeah, with the caution warning of the violence and all of that. So I'm probably going to go for a 7 with this movie. I think the soundtrack is really good. I think Victoria, you're obviously very much into your music, and I think you would find the soundtrack interesting. I like the way that it sort of builds that sort of psychological thriller element of it and sort of plays with you. Yeah, I do you know what, Alex? I am going to recommend this movie. But only to the brave.
Your score of 7 actually matches the critic's score on IMDb, which also provided a 43% Rotten Tomatoes or Rotten Tomatoes score. Interesting, the Brimstone connection, of course, because Brimstone and Treacle, written by Dennis Potter, was a BBC play from the late 70s, which also had various disturbing overtones and so on. I don't think this is connected in any way, shape or form, other than the title Brimstone, which, of course, deals with hell, fire, brimstone, and so on. And indeed, as the one-word sentence suggests, as you've ably said, Natasha, a frontier woman turns fugitive when she's wrongly accused of a crime she didn't commit. Victoria, has Natasha proven that this is one for yourself, or is it a case of, I just don't know?
I'm not sure. The completely violent films I don't tend to go for, but it's something I could try. I know the Swedish, as soon as you get them involved, they do crime and thriller really well. So I'm not sure.
And
I
it's got Guy
tend to
Pearce in
go
there as
slightly
well.
light-hearted. Meh. Just because there's
The
lots of big
Australian
people in
Liam
it doesn't
Neeson,
mean they did
surely.
a good performance.
Indeed.
I would say that's fair. I think it's one of those films that's very much like Marmite. You'll either sort of you'll see it and straight away you'll get the themes and you'll go nope, and kind of switch it off partway through. And I can think of the part where you'll switch it off, or you'll sort of be hooked by her story and I think keep going. And I think it'll either be one or the other.
Have to raise the question, of course,
Interesting. If
Natasha.
they're on Netflix, I tend to sort of watch the first 10 minutes, and if I'm not hooked, then I'm like, yep, nope, try another one.
And I
That's
have to
fair.
raise the question, Natasha, any bodily functions involved? Because clearly, if there's any vomiting, projectile or otherwise, or indeed other excretion activities, I'm going to give it a pass.
Alex, it's the Wild West, and you get
Yeah,
all the fun stuff that
exactly.
come with
So
it.
bodily functions are there. So if
Maybe
you, yeah, if you
there's
if you're
drunk.
not,
There's drunkenly behavior. There's drunkenly behavior.
okay. Well, recent Resonance Rewind, of course, focused on the 1973 Bond movie Live and Let Die. Natasha, I know you never touch base with anything to do with the Beatles at all. Do you also have a similar antipathy towards Bond movies? I suspect you might have.
I do like Bond movies, but I think it's very much depends on who's playing the main role. I love Sean Connery. I thought Pierce Brosnan gave it a fair go. I do really like Daniel Craig. Roger Moore is a little bit of a tricky wicket for me. I think he did what he could with the script. I don't necessarily think that when I watch them, they feel like a Bond movie. Does that make sense?
Well, this, of course, follows through on the work of Tom Mankiewicz and the fact that Malcolm Tomlinson couldn't actually join us for the recent Resonance Rewind, but did give this the notion that it was his favourite Bond movie. In addition to that, of course, it was scoring, I think, on average, a 7. But Victoria, you were midway through when we actually had to suspend the whole piece of Resonance Rewind. So, what was your final score going to be for the Guy Hamilton directed 1973 Live and Let Die?
I didn't get to watch the rest of it yet.
It was only 3 days ago, so why should we worry?
I went
It's much more important, you know, and
and bought a
thereby
car.
some,
It took
yeah,
all day.
there thy hands are turned. In fact, we could introduce it as a new category in terms of would you watch this movie or go and buy a car? You know, these are the categories. Is it a buy a car kind of movie, or is it a case of, you know, you would watch the movie? I mean, Richard would be particularly miffed, I'm sure, because he's a non-driver, but there we are. That's okay.
It's cheaper to watch the
It's cheaper to watch the movie. Exactly. There we are. Marvelous
I
stuff.
would imagine, though, that Richard would rather go and buy a car than have to watch Troy, which I know he particularly is averse to, so he'd probably rather do that.
Troy, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., any Roger Moore Bond. The list is endless. Australia, listening to the dulcet tones of Nicole Kidman singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, relating to Hugh Jackman. I mean, any of those things for future reference, mention them in passing, and Richard's buttons will be pressed undeniably. But let's move on to another Australian theme. We mentioned Guy Pearce, of course. Coming up on this particular production, we'll be speaking very shortly to a musician, an editor, a creator, a producer, radio audio producer, Chrissy Pashley, who'll be making her debut. Chrissy's been working with our friends at Magic Bullet Productions and effectively was responsible for putting together a whole new exciting soundtrack for the world of Blake Seven, which is available. And that brought us neatly around to a little question I wanted to put to both Natasha and to Victoria. Audio dramas, audio books, there's a key growing market there. I mean, obviously, we're in the business of audio. Siren Radio is an audio primarily medium. We haven't as yet started releasing the videos, although they are such fun in so many ways. But in terms of that, are you a keen audiobook follower, or do you like the audio medium, Natasha?
I just really love books. It's actually audiobooks seem to be really popular out here. So I work obviously in a school. It's a quite a substantially female-led environment, and I would say a good proportion of my colleagues do listen to audiobooks. It seems to be very popular, and as you say, rising the amount of access. I've listened to them a lot when I was a child. So it's one of those ones I've sort of done a switch. So I've sort of gone out of them rather than come into them. When I was a child, we used to go on particularly long car journeys down to my nan's, down from obviously Newark to Southend. And it was one way that you could just keep me entertained. I had all the animal art books on CD. I can see there with my little red CD player with my headphones. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I don't know why I got out of listening to them. It was not for any reason. I suppose I just didn't have the time or the car journeys to do it, but I enjoyed the ones when I listened to them. I do listen to sort of podcasts occasionally with my husband. We like to listen to sort of myths and legends sort of things. So that's kind of like my little edging, I suppose, still into that sort of audio drama setting. But at the moment, no, I don't currently listen to audiobooks, but I'm very open to doing so.
Well, we're going to have a listen to the entirety of Brian Crouch's performance with respect to this side of things, and indeed we'll be featuring an interview with Australian sound designer Chrissy Pashley. Exciting stuff there. And I noticed, Victoria, that the Facebook post has indeed gone off with the line, "Now that I have my own car, my very own car, and don't use my father's anymore, I offer music shows of around 90 minutes in the vicinity of Brescia." Which is wonderful. So, I mean, surely, does this mean that you're no longer having a chauffeur to drive you over and up and down the joys of Europe?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, I am got my own system. Lighting I don't actually have at the moment, but I figured hopefully the bar will have enough lighting for me. And now I bought a really small system and thought, oh, the car needs a big boot to put all my stuff in, my luggage. And then the system I bought was really small and it looks really small in the car.
Well,
But
these are the challenges that impact us in all so many ways, as I'm sure Sarah Huntley, you can attest to, as is your wont. Sarah, we've just been discussing two things, one of which is a movie you may never have seen, one of which is a movie you may have seen, given that it's one of Malcolm Tomlinson's favourites. I don't know, that might have a connection or not. The movie you probably have not seen is one with Dakota Fanning and Guy Pearce entitled Brimstone. As Natasha's already alerted me to, it does have bodily functions in there, so I'm probably not going to be checking this out. But any thoughts on whether that appeals or whether you think, is that anything to do with Sting and Dennis Potter's Brimstone and Treacle back from the 1970s?
well, that's the first thing that came into my mind, Alex. And is there any connection?
No, other than the
Oh.
hellfire and damnation side of things. But I just
Oh.
wanted to flag that up.
Oh, well, yes, that was sort of slightly titivating me to think, oh, I might have a look at that. Have to confess, I don't know then in that case.
Well, the other one, which you may well have actually seen, because I'm not really quite sure in terms of your views on the whole James Bond industry, but the Resonance Rewind, which we looked at recently, Live and Let Die, is that one which you've seen? Is it something which you've avoided like the plague? Or is it a case of no, I can only go for either Sean Connery or Daniel Craig as potential good Bonds?
Oh, I could go for them all with good bonds, quite honestly. no, I do love Live and Let Die, and I love the music to it as well. And no, that's definitely, yeah, perhaps I'm getting terribly nostalgic, but I love them all, and I love the last one as well. I cried actually,
No
especially
time to
with
die.
No Time to Die. Exactly. Have all the time in the world.
Well, as taken, of course, from On Her Majesty's Secret Service, in which, of
Yeah.
course, Bond's wife did die. So it all comes together. Next up, as far as Resonance Rewinds is concerned, and again, you might well be interested in seeing whether this is one for you, Sarah, Michael Caine in The Ipcress File. Have you ever encountered The Ipcress File?
Oh yes, definitely. That's a definite. Oh yes, I'd like to join in on that one. Definitely, definitely.
I mean, Natasha, have you ever encountered the Harry Saltzman produced Ipcress File starring Michael Caine and Sue Lloyd?
No, I have not, but the name alone is such a mouthful that it definitely intrigues me.
It is an acronym, and it's all to do with psychology and brainwashing, but I won't give any other spoilers away at this stage. Victoria, are you looking forward to the Ipcress File?
Yes, and hopefully I will get all the way through the movie before actually coming doing Resonance Rewind.
Even if you haven't seen it, you can still be part of the whole package. It's
I
that's all
can.
part of the whole thing. Sarah, in Ireland and indeed other parts of the world, the children are going back to school this week because obviously it's high time they actually went back there. And unlike Britain, we don't have to keep our children on holiday because they have to help with the harvesting and the gathering together of the crops and the corn, which obviously they do as a matter of course, particularly in Wimbledon, I've heard.
Oh,
Are you
you can
looking
see them
forward
now.
to are you looking forward to the new 24 Tw or 23, 24 academic year, or is it just a case of same old, same old?
I'm sorry to say, same old, but I'm determined to jazz it up with lovely programs like this, seeing more of my friends. Life's too short when you're 60 to not do the things you want to do. And I just wanted to give you all something I went to see and got very wet at. It was an awful lot of fun on Friday night. I went to Le Cage aux Folles in Regent's Park, and it was, oh, Victoria, you would have loved the music. It was fantastic. I have to say, by about 9:45, there are an awful lot of wet drag queens because it started to rain. And we got through most of the numbers. The best of times is now. Is actually when the heavens opened, but it's on till September, and it's an absolutely brilliant production. Not only covering, I think, issues that are being explored massively at the moment about what good parenting is, what sexuality you are, but the main thing, it's about
I do
love.
hope, Sarah, you're not becoming a TERF, a trans exclusionary
Ooh.
reactionary feminist.
Well, I didn't know what that was till you just told me. Sorry, I'm probably being terribly flippant and naughty, aren't I? I just love people. People, everybody. The songs, I Am What I Am. And what was funny was because the rain was starting to come down, I fairly felt for them because they are such brilliant actors. And so in the background, what they were doing were having very camp people that are meant to be obviously working in the cardio fault. Actually, I'm getting self-conscious now because we have a very good French speaker here with us. But in the background, they've got mops with glitter on.
Victoria is a very good French speaker. We'd expect nothing less.
But she's perfect. Perfection. And they've got mops with tinsel on, trying to mop the stage because obviously they were doing lots of dancing and splits. And you know, somebody might have done the splits, would have lasted forever in their lives. He didn't want that. So they were coming on with the splits. And then there were people walking through the audience and coming up and on the stairs, they were having to be ever so careful. But then sadly, this poor stage management person, it was their responsibility to come and say, We're going to see how it goes, but we're going to have to stop for now. Which point it was so wet, and then walking back to the tube, the cars were just throwing more water on us. And one of my friends that was with me had his suit on from work, and he'd wrapped himself in a bin liner to try and preserve his suit. So he looked like an elderly punk coming back on the tube. But it was a tremendous night, and I'd urge anybody, please go to Regent's Park and see Le Carrefour. It was fantastic. The
And bring
music.
a brolly, or indeed be prepared to actually cope with the whole notion of the onslaught of Hurricane Betty, which I think was what you probably got there. It was Hurricane Betty that effectively
Was a
was.
bit of Betty. I think it was a bit of
Yes.
Betty. Yes.
Well, there you go. Victoria, the good news, hopefully, as far as I'm aware, is that when you come to perform at the University of Lincoln, together with Chloe Rose, you will actually have a roof on your head. And there will actually be an indoor venue from that point of view. So at least that's the plan. I'm not sure whether Ryan will actually put that in place. He may decide to put you right in the middle of the Brayford pool. Who knows?
If he puts me outside, then I just want a heater, that's all. Because in November, that's going to be really, really cold. But I know we were mentioning the audiobooks, and I will have to mention that ones that I've just recorded, and one's on Amazon already. It's called One Visit by George Beck. And one's coming up. I've done the recording, and it should be coming on soon. And then he's got a third that I'm in the middle of recording. So you have to go and
Now,
watch, listen
are
to
these
those
in
ones.
English or are they en
They're definitely
franglais?
in English. Yeah.
And
What
just given that
are they
our
about,
time,
Victoria? What give us a
a
snapshot,
teaser.
a teaser? Oh, teaser.
Crime. We'll go with the crime drama. It's actually quite good with the theme. It's quite intense, actually. My part's quite intense. A lot of actually, it really fits with your film, Natasha, because it's got a lot of let's go with
Bodily
the
functions.
no, it's definitely not bodily functions, although that wouldn't matter in an audiobook quite so much, but the drama of
Tension,
in
anxiety,
no in your
abuse,
house,
domestic
abuse in your
abuse.
house, that's the one.
Well,
So
hopefully, as Natasha said, nobody actually should actually have any endurance of domestic abuse in any way, shape, or form. We put zero tolerance on that. But yes, it was interesting that you put that as a caveat, Natasha. Okay, Victoria, just plug it again. Where can we find these books and where can we purchase them?
they're on Amazon, and it's by George Veck, VECK. And the one I'm just recording is definitely with the sexual abuse, because it's very hard. I'm finding it quite difficult to do the voiceover. So that one will definitely come out well, I think, when I've
But you're an
finished it.
artist, Victoria. You're an actress. You're a singer. You're a
And it's
songwriter.
so
But
hard.
you will cope, as before. In fact, we might review
Definitely.
that for next time round. Natasha, we've gone from obviously the finances behind the World Cup, the sadness of the Matildas going down the tubes, etc. But don't worry, as we said the last time we heard, Spain were actually leading. So good news there. Richard will be back in all sorts of ways. Sarah. You're shocked with respect to that side of things. Anything you'd like to
Oh, I'm
plug
not
or promote?
winning. Well, I have to say, I was going to do it as a little teaser. But myself and Mr. Fitzwilliams last week went to Soho House to watch a French film, in fact. So I think you could persuade Fitzwilliams to talk about that, which would bond. I don't know what the French for bond is, but would bond extremely well, because it was a comic detective crime, which was rather good. So I think you should ask him to feature that, and I could secretly tell you all what he's going to give the scoring. Shall I tell you while he's not on?
Why not?
Okay, dear listeners, as they say. So I said, well, I think this is just fantastic. I'd give it a 10. And he went, well, it is very good, but I'd have to say, Sarah, it's too long. So 9 out of 10. So we're all in on what he's going to score it, but don't tell him I told
I
you.
mean, has he ever actually got to the stage of getting Inspector Clouseau back with a boom?
I do not know. No.
Hello, hello, I shall say this only once.
Well,
And that's what we call Australian French, Natasha.
oh yes. Well, Victoria, I
It's
have to say,
beautiful. I love it.
I think we all should end with a little French accent. But I used to work with a colleague, and she was French, and we had a particular person who was extremely irritating. And I miss monologue. I go on and on and on. But basically, she had really offended and upset everyone. And my French friend, I thought it wouldn't come across the same in English. And she went, "Oh no!" And then, to quote, and I always said, I've always hated like that. And I just think when she said it, like we both, I've always hated like that. And it was like, because she was just causing so much stress. But it didn't sound the same in English when she said it.
It could almost have been taken straight away from one of the dialogue scenes from Live and Let Die, in which we had the classic line, "Baron Samedi, that's Saturday for those of you who speak French, folks." It was a New Orleans moment. There we are.
I was getting Carry On Camping vibes, but sure, let's go with that.
Yeah,
You're on
exactly.
form, Alex. You're on form.
To Natasha Wanton to in Australia, home of course of the Matildas, to Sarah Huntley from Wimbledon, home of course of the Wombles,
Yes.
to Victoria Simmons from, I always keep saying somewhere in France because I know it's not Paris, but it's somewhere south of Paris
And what
and
is that
not
the
quite as
home
south
of?
as Lourdes, you know? So
You've got the home of, Alex. Where is that? What is we've got Wombles? What's France?
home of the onion, perhaps.
Oh.
Or indeed the Black Beret or other stereotypical aspects.
We're getting
Marie
very
Antoinette. We'll go Marie Antoinette.
Antoinette, yes.
Yeah. And
Although
another
I
way to
think she was
push.
Austrian, but we go with that.
And
She
another
lived
way
in
to
France.
push Richard's button, if you ever actually want to say how wonderful the movie The Duchess was featuring Keira Knightley again. He'll also probably go pale with respect to that. So there we have it. Anyway, to Victoria Simmons, to Sarah Huntley, to Natasha Wanton, huge thanks. And keep watching those movies and reading those and listening to those audiobooks.
She watched a thin trickle of ichor come out of the wound in her side. Nerves cut during the conversion process meant she felt no pain. The clear fluid dribbled down over the heavy jumpsuit she wore. She was lying partly in a small brook. The water chilled her left side, flexing her fingers. She watched idly. A face in her mind from another time and place had the form and stability of autumn leaves, floating downstream, swirling, breaking shapes. Her hand still clenching about the gun, though it was 3 feet away. She pulled the sharp edge of a stone from the left side of her brain pan. Something crackled, and part of her face and voice died. Lost in leaves, vague things crawled over her. Forbidden memories dropping like serum on the forest floor. Blood in water, tears in rain. Another, more recent face. The black gleam of surface rock burned off by Pursuit 4's engines. The black gleam of his eye patch. Orders, always orders.
I'm going to make contact with the Goths. You stay here. Don't go out. Unless someone tries to board the ship. In that case, follow standard procedure. Clear?
Yes, Commander.
Yes, Commander.
The airlock wheezed shut. He was gone. Ship on low tick over. One of the mutoids lapsed into a semi-coma. Power conservation at its most brutal. They were almost out of blood plasma. The last dose waited like a sentence of death. The other, known as Velicia before the conversion, remained vigilant, alert, aware, following orders. Minimum scan revealed the intruders before the first dull clang on the hull. She roused her comrade, and they conferred, coldly and logically. Then, clasping her handgun, She waited at the airlock. She killed one as the outer door slid back, his chest gaping comically before his mouth. It was fitful dark, drifting rank mist, poor visibility. Then the hands closed round her throat. She broke the hold on the man's neck with one blow, brought the gun round, and killed two more before they were on her, lifting her up. An animal sound of triumph. She was conscious of movement, rush of air, falling. After she'd hit the rocks, she thought she heard plasma fire, beside the roar inside her own head. Then the brittle sound of a laser gun hand. The world acquired nightmare shades for her. For seconds at a time, she was blind. She'd been thrown into a narrow gully close to the ship. Time was glacial now. Ice ages crawled. She waited for the last drop of serum. Once, a white shape leaned over the edge to look at her. Raven black hair cut close to the scalp. Then she slept again without sleeping. The blackouts were getting more frequent. Later, the ship took off, but the sound had lost its meaning. Her fingers moved in the stream as if in a final parting gesture. Darkness washed over her. Her hand no longer had any need of the gun. There was a dream of walking, creepers and briars lashing, opening new wounds just acknowledged as peripheral damage. Something held her fast. Almost dead, she barely struggled. Passive, she felt her arm grasped. Dimly, she felt it lifted. Then, the first thing was her pulses, still going. The second was her eyes opening to see the man. He was binding her wrist from where his blood had come into her. He slid the extractor needle back into her arm. She spasmed, and he grabbed the front of the tunic, balling it in his fist and dragging her face to face. One of his eyes was roughly bandaged, the edges raw and livid. A blade clicked out of his other hand and inscribed an arc under her chin.
"Where is he?"
the man demanded.
"Where's that bastard Travis?"
Something sparked in the head implant. Exist to serve. And her broken voice was saying, "Orders, Commander. Orders?"
Orders, Commander. Orders. The last three words, as you just heard there in another little epic, a miniature epic, of course, courtesy of the wonderful world of Kaldor City and Magic Bullet, etc., with narration and detailed sound design provided by the awesome Chrissy Pashley. And as we've just said, Chrissy is indeed lined up now to actually join us on the Midweek Drive. Chrissy, welcome from, of course, the country that's recently hosted a Women's World Cup.
Indeed. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, Chrissy, great to connect with your good self. Let's talk, first of all, about how did you get involved with Magic Bullet and Kaldor City and so on? What was the connection?
Well, a friend of mine introduced me to the site because it contained some quite famous Blade 7 stories in audio form that were made, as a follow-on from the original series, and I guess you could call those the most authentic, maybe, of the audio material of the time, perhaps. So I went straight on there and I listened to everything, loved it all. It just has a great sense of humour about it, which appealed to me. And my friend spoke very highly of it. And so I listened to everything, bought everything, and then thought, oh, what else is there? So I kind of scoped around on the site looking all the other stuff that's in there and found these little stories. There's about 7 of them, all quite short, but really just quite unique. They're all different. And I sent Alan an email, Alan Stevens, asking him if he would let me make them into audios. And at the time he said, this was probably about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, perhaps. And he sent me a message back saying, sure, go ahead. Just send me a link when you've done them. I would like to listen to them. So that's how it started. And that was, you know, a while ago when I was very early in my audio making activities, and they were pretty raw. Although at the time I thought they were really good, but they really aren't. Yeah.
I disagree, Chrissy. I think everybody, artists always have this tendency to actually be self-critical from that point of view. But I have to ask the question, I mean, Blake 7 as a series, of course, was with us in the 20th century, 78 through 81. It's had various incarnations in terms of people saying, oh, it's going to come back. It's not going to come back. As you say, there have been other companies in addition to Magic Bullet who've done various lines and audio pieces within that. What is it about this quote-unquote Dirty Dozen in space, as created by Chris Boucher and Terry Nation, etc., which really appeals to yourself?
It's the characters. It's just, there's no law to them. They represent, I suppose, what could be real people in a situation like that. They don't have, they're renegades. They don't follow any particular pattern. There's no law. They all feel strongly about things. Some of them are particularly nasty characters, and they all have to, they're all thrown together, and they all have to work out a way to achieve something. And most of that, you know, the highest thing being survival. And so to survive, they have to somehow work with each other. And in real times, they wouldn't have gotten together at all because they didn't really necessarily appeal to each other in the first instance. They were chucked together. So I suppose from the point of view of why I like it, I did watch it when it first came out. I was a young girl, and I just loved it straight away. So it was almost, I was hooked straight away, and I couldn't forget about it. So I just kept watching my set of tapes. I recorded them off the TV, then I watched them until they squeaked, and then I bought the set of VHS, and then I watched them until they squeaked, and then I bought the DVDs. So, you know, it just is a lifetime obsession, like many Blake 7 fans are. But it's all about the characters in the end.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, what we've just been listening to, of course, Gothic, a short story by David Tully. You provided the narration and the sound design for it. When you were getting into that particular character, because we know the beauty of radio, the scenery is so much better. Yeah, you can, it's the theatre of the mind. You can create so many images and packages with respect to that. Did you, in essence, because clearly Brian Croucher is very much one of the two Travises that was actually there, did you have a favourite? Did you say, well, Brian Croucher is there? Well, I mean, some people actually say, no, it's not Brian Croucher, it's the other one.
I don't see it as two, actually. I see it as one, because I feel like one is one part of Travis's life and one is another part of Travis's life. So I couldn't say that I preferred one over the other, because I think that they represent different Travis incarnations. And certainly I think Brian brought a madness to Travis, if you like, or what Travis could have been. He was pushed to the very limit. He tried everything. He couldn't make it happen with the usual rules. So he had to go outside of that. And he was even subjected to the Federation's mind melding, if you like. So he'd kind of experienced everything by then, and he was almost losing the will to try to make things happen in the right way. I just felt that Brian just encompassed it for me. I wouldn't have wanted a situation without Stephen, the first Travis, at all. I can't separate them, because they just seem like the young Travis is the more sort of diligent, the more following the routine. He's the believer, and the second Travis is the one that's been betrayed, the one that's been hurt, the one that's losing faith and going a bit unhinged. they're both Travis to me.
Science fiction is often regarded as a way of actually commenting on society. Clearly, people have obviously discussed Chris Boucher and Terry Nation's input in terms of how the series developed, how it evolved. What do you think it has to say to us here in the year 2023?
Well, I think there's always a totalitarian regime somewhere, or there seems to be.
Sadly, yes.
Sadly. And there, you know, in our world, there are many, right? But we don't necessarily experience all of them firsthand. And I think that it kind of, I think everyone can relate because there's always some kind of authority figure or regime that we all rebel against at some point. Even if we don't take it very far, even if we're not a natural rebel, we still rile against it a little bit. And so I think we could all relate to what they were going through in that they were trying to beat something that was bigger than them, and it was probably never going to happen, but it was probably obvious for anyone watching it. It's never going to happen. Guys, shouting at the TV and all that, but it doesn't matter. They're still going to fight it. And I think we can all really relate to having fought something like that in our lives, perhaps.
The BBC Radiophonic Workshop, of course, responsible for so many marvelous audio pieces, has now been sold. It's gone into private hands and so on, and we know that the sort of lines that will be taken, etc. Did you have any kind of particular fondness for the likes of, well, I would say Roger Limb and Dick Mills, although they were mostly connected with Doctor Who, etc. But obviously, Mr. Simpson's wonderful, stirring Blake Seven March and so on. Was that also something which kind of introduced you and really led you into becoming a sound designer?
It wasn't anything like that that brought me to it, actually. Although I do love the music, I absolutely do. And it still, it still moves me even now, even after all this time. But what got me into this was a couple of reasons. First of all, there were stories out there that I knew of. Some of them just created as books, and they were not in audio form. And I like to walk around listening to audios. And I wanted to listen to some of these stories because I really loved the stories, and there were no audio representations of them. So I had to make them so I could listen to them, So really it was that was one part of it. Plus, I also needed to improve my diction and my way of speaking for my work, my normal job. So I just thought, well, there's two birds, one stone, let's do that. And I'm interested. I didn't like the way my voice sounded. I can turn it to be quite clean now, as you've heard in some of those audios, but it was pretty rough. And when I listened to it, I thought, oh, that's dreadful. I don't like it. So I just thought, well, if I do something like this where it has to be better, then maybe I will be more happy with my own spoken voice. So that took me towards it. And then the sound design itself just gradually happened. More and more and more sounds introduced into each audio that I did. I've made many now. And the first ones I made were pretty much the narration. I did all the voices and music. That was it. And a couple of sort of background sounds, but not much at all. Now there's a lot. It takes a lot longer to make them now than it did back then.
So those layers of sound that you can put on board, that you can address, that you can really start beginning to form and shape the whole image. Do you have a kind of end point in mind to start off with, or is it a bit like an audio sculpture? You kind of have a vision of it, but you have to chip away at the extraneous bits until you actually get that inclusive or aspect of the core of a story coming out.
That's a really good way of describing it, actually, because I often have an I usually know what music I'm going to use, first of all, because I tend to use a music lead in and a music lead out just for the short stories. So that's I usually choose the music first. And then I work out if there's scenes within the story. But when I start putting the story together, particularly nowadays, things occur to me as I'm making the story. And sometimes when I've been doing other stories recently where I've got more people involved, there's other actors, so I'm there's other voices. But sometimes I go back to those actors and say, can you do this? Can you do that? And I think of another scene and it occurs to me as I'm making the story. Just don't know where it comes from, it just appears. And so the sound effects themselves, I have a big library and I just pick that many of them are the same sounds that I use over and over. Just, think move people moving around rooms. Normal kinds of sounds. And I have specific sounds used for specific Blake Seven situations like ship noises, door noises, the guns, these kinds of things. They're all standard noises. But other things I just plug out and put in as I think of them, as I go. But I suppose I do have a general premise for each story as I make it though, in total. But I don't tie myself to it because then I feel like I'm creatively stifling it if I do that.
And do you often look to create your own sounds? I mean, are you constantly on the lookout for wild tracks? hither and thither. Do you have a recorder or a digital device ready to actually start recording some of the sounds of the environment and then start playing around with that as things develop? Or is it a case of no, I prefer to leave that all to the computer?
No, it's a bit of everything, actually. I've got a device, stereo recording device that I can, it's a handheld thing. I take it out and I can record things with that. I do that sometimes. I don't have very much time, though, so I haven't done it much lately. I also support a few young artists on Patreon, which is a site that you basically take up as a subscription, in case you don't know. And there's a couple of people I've discovered over time, mainly that make ambient background sounds, the really powerful, loud stuff. I have no idea how they do it. But it's amazing to listen to. I love that kind of digitized sound. So there's a couple that I support, and then I get to use their sounds in my stories. As far as incidental sounds, I do make some. I have quite fun with that. Banging doors and throwing myself around and things like that, or, you know, getting my friends to make silly noises, stuff like that. I do a bit of everything, really. But I'm not very clever at it. I don't, you know, I'm still learning that side of the business, really.
And is your heart very much within the audio side of things? Or, I mean, I'm thinking, would you consider work as a Foley artist? Are we looking at any sort of cinematic aspects here? I mean, obviously, sound and film is a crucial aspect of the whole thing. Is that something you've been tempted to develop and look for?
Well, I'm an amateur with everything. I really am. But before I made these audios, I used to make videos of days out, events and holidays and things like that. So I made videos, compiled videos for a long, long time, just to record those things. And now that I'm doing audio, I haven't done any videos for ages. So I don't think at this point I have considered doing cinematic stuff. If you're referring to making like films or things like that, I could. I've got some friends who do, and I suppose my interest could go there. But at the moment, I want to finish some of the things I've got on my plate right now, audio wise.
Yeah.
And then maybe, don't know.
Obviously, KaldorCity.com is the go-to site to actually download some free aspects of the work that you've done in collaboration with Alan Stevens, of course, and Fiona Moore, and the excellent work within that whole area. What about the future? Would you consider making more Blake 7 material, more spin-offs? Is there a special novel or area that you have which would be Chrissy Pashley authentic sort of original material? I mean, what thoughts do you have in mind as we progress through this post-pandemic age?
Well, I do still have a lot sitting on my list. I'm making a three-part audio adaptation of a book that was written by some fan friends of mine. I've done one part of it. I'm doing the other two at the moment. There's Alan's stories. So there's the original seven. We're still looking to make, and Alan's releasing them on a set schedule. He's got a plan for that, and I'm not going to speak about that just in case give something away. But we are looking at all of them, so I would like to make all of them. I originally made all of them, but they were the rough version, and they're not going anywhere. Yeah. You know, so we're replacing those. Plus, Brian came along to help with them, and he's added a really great authenticity to them. So that's been awesome. I wouldn't class myself as a writer per se, although I do write, and I think it could be improved. But Alan is a writer, and I'm hoping to maybe encourage him to do a bit more writing in this aspect. Certainly there's a lot more that we're doing together. And we have talked at various times about doing other things as well, maybe involving a few other actors, because that's been great fun, and it's just very rewarding, and it helps to have all of that stuff on the site. It just brings more attention to Kaldor City, which is what Kaldor City should have.
Indeed. Definitely. So more than delighted to do that. And finally, any particular other franchises that you've always felt, do you know, if I had a dream scenario, and we appreciate that there is a company beginning with big and ending in ish, that has obviously taken an awful lot of British genre television. But are there any other particular areas or shows that you think, you know, I'd be quite interested in doing a version of that?
I am, if nothing else, an opportunist. So I don't often preempt these things, and I let things just appear. If I'm there at the right time, then I might go for something. I don't have any idea beyond what I'm currently doing, although I have written some things myself that I would like to finish off. But that's a separate side thing that would probably never get done because there's too many other things to do. But yeah, I'll just wait and see what happens. I think that I'll be working with Alan for quite some years yet. I hope that would be the best,
Well,
I think.
you must persuade Alan to get onto the magic of Zoom because we're always keen to actually bring him on board, but he tends to be steering well away from the Zoom package. But Chrissy, it's been awesome connecting with your good self. Do you have a website yourself that you'd like to share in addition to obviously CaldorCity.com?
I actually don't have a website. Isn't that terrible? But I don't at the moment.
Well, never mind.
I'll
That's
get back to you.
exactly. We'll have a. But well, two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the program today? Has it been good for you?
That's been awesome. And I have noticed the picture of Sally Nivette behind you. Very nice
Well, I
indeed.
felt it was only right. We're going to do a Blake Seven scenario to actually open up the whole thing with the original Jenna, and so far today, sole Jenna, from that point of view. So good to see that Jenna Stannis was noted on that basis.
Yeah,
And then the final
absolutely.
question, Chrissy, is: can we look forward to connecting with you again? Will you come back and join us for more discussions from your base in Australia? In fact, whereabouts in Australia are you? Because it's a big continent.
It is indeed a big continent. I'm in Sydney, so I'm in the best place, arguably.
Yeah, I was going to say I couldn't possibly comment. We have contributors from Melbourne who would probably actually sort of be most concerned about that, but so it goes.
But Melburnians would expect me to say that. So, I'm not saying anything that would surprise them. And I don't knock Melbourne either. So,
So, Chrissy, will you be kind enough to return?
I would love it. Thank you so much. That would be very, very nice. And it's been an absolute pleasure to meet you.
Likewise, Chrissy Pashley, Australian sound designer extraordinaire and key component in the continuing growth of the Alan Stevens verse, as we'll say. Huge thanks and keep on keeping on.
Thank you.